Hello, Sid Roth, and I'm here with an up-and-coming prophet, Chris Reed. And I met Chris a number of months ago, and he kept telling me, calling me, texting me, you've got to warn people to pray about Philadelphia. Now, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Nothing. But guess what? I kept looking and watching the news and the election and the voter fraud type issues. And Philadelphia is center stage. And in fact, I sent you, Chris, an article I read saying it's all going to end up there. And that's exactly what your prophetic word was. Tell me when you got the word and what it was.
So on August the 20th, 2020, I was ministering in Palm Bay, Florida, and I'd taken an afternoon nap, and I awoke from the nap, and sitting on the side of the bed, I instantly went into a vision, and I was just really, really shaken up by it. And instantly, I wrote it down. I shared it on my public page on Facebook and such, and I knew that it was going to be very important. This was on August the 20th. So almost 3 months ago, and here it is. I wrote this down. Pennsylvania, the nation is looking to you. This afternoon on August the 20th, I had a powerful vision, an open vision that is very significant and consequential to the United States and the upcoming presidential election. In the vision, I saw a large map of the United States. And I saw a person standing on each particular state on all 50 states, and they were looking at me in the vision. And then I saw a calendar, and as each page flipped representing the different months, August turned over, then September, then October, and suddenly I saw the month of November 2020. I suddenly saw each person standing on the map on each particular state that were looking at me. They then turned their whole face and their whole body and looked at the state of Pennsylvania. It was almost like they turned robotically at the same time. It was as if the whole nation and every state was looking at the state of Pennsylvania, the state, of course, that contains Philadelphia, which represents so much of the history and the founding of our nation. Philadelphia, of course, was the first, the site of the first and second Continental Congresses in 1774 and 1775, the latter of which produced the Declaration of Independence, sparking the American Revolution. I then saw a representation in Pennsylvania of our first president, President George Washington. And I then saw President Donald Trump come up and stand beside him, and George Washington put his arm around President Trump and spoke these words to him, quote, "You are leading the second revolution to free America from the grips of socialism. And the whole nation is looking to Pennsylvania once again to declare independence from the growing influence of socialism, radical ideology, and an antichrist agenda to restore it back to its founding and to truly keep America great." And from that, I said, I believe there is a spiritual warfare surrounding the state of Pennsylvania in regards to the 2020 presidential election, and it will be a state, and it has proven to be a state of great consequence.
But you had a supernatural burden to get people to start praying once you realized what was going on from God.
Yeah, I sure did.
It wasn't you were pushing you. You were pushing, this is critical, life critical.
Yeah. To tell you how significant and important this truly was, I was just in Fort Mill, South Carolina at Morningstar speaking at their Advanced Prophetic Conference. And every night I ministered Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And the last, every night, Monday night and Tuesday night, I would preach, and then I would minister to individuals prophetically, words of knowledge and prophecy. But the last night, I finished preaching the word, and the Lord would not allow me to minister to anyone individually. And the reason being, before I started preaching the last night, I shared this prophecy about Pennsylvania. And later on, Rick Joyner had said to me that he felt like that the Lord had showed him that the Lord did not want anything to detract from this word regarding Pennsylvania.
And actually, Rick told me the same thing.
Yeah.
But then I talked with you yesterday, and you said something very amazing happened. But before you even explain that, let me explain exactly what I've observed of Chris's ministry. He has the ability to prophesy, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, from my observation, almost everyone in a room. Well, you didn't do this, but we're at our staff prayer meeting, and you were just going down the line. And the prophecies, he wouldn't be on this show right now if the prophecies weren't completely accurate. Have you always had that gift?
I had always saw glimpses of it in my life, but about 8-9 years ago, I started having visitations from the Lord at nighttime, and I would just feel electricity go through my body. And this went on for about a year, and I woke up every time knowing there was a supernatural being, a divine presence in the room. And as time went on and I would be ministering in different places, I would first notice this, like I would look at someone and just know, you know, that they had cancer or heart trouble. And over time, this began to develop and grow more and more, even to the place to where it's detailed about, I've even seen dreams that people have had the night before in a public setting.
Now that is supernatural. Did you get that? You could have had a dream yesterday, and if God wills, he can tell you the dream. Now, do you go a step further? Do you interpret the dream when you tell them?
Yes. In fact, this has actually happened quite a bit. There's even on the Chris Reed Ministries YouTube channel, there's a lot of videos where I actually go down the line, and there's examples of where I prophesy to someone, tell them their dream, and then interpret it. Never knowing these people, not knowing them, having no connection with them.
Let me interrupt you and say I have seen some of these videos, and the people say, that was me. That was my dream. But what happened to you yesterday is too important. I wanted to establish who you were. But tell me about what happened yesterday.
So, you know, during the election, since I'd got the word about Pennsylvania on August the 20th, I really had not gotten anything else from the Lord about the election. In fact, a few days before the election, I had said, I had shared this publicly in my church here in Peru, Indiana, and also on my social media pages, I had said, I did not feel a peace or a certainty about the election. And that really bothered me because I knew other prophets were boldly proclaiming that Trump would win re-election. And I believe that. I wasn't doubting that, but I just felt an uneasiness in my heart about it. And I'd shared it with others. Well, yesterday I was at home by myself. My wife and kids were at a homeschool public event. And I went to the Lord in prayer, and I began to petition the Lord. I said, God, it is now 6 days since the election, and we need clarity on this. I know that there are people that are coming forward, and I believe them about the clarity, but you know, I'm really needing to know from you what is happening here. What is going on? And Sid, I am telling you, I had one of the most real, incredible experiences, open visionary experiences, and the hair standing on the back of my neck right now telling you about this.
I feel it.
Where, I mean, it just shocked me. And I told my wife, and then I let you know, because you and I had talked about if I got anything from the Lord, you wanted me to to call you. And so I've been in prayer in my bedroom, and I've been praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, petitioning the Lord for clarity, not so that I could say, oh, I got the word, but I just really feel like the church needs some direction. People are getting wore out by this, you know, as this goes on, this new kind of election where we've did the mail-in votes, and it's just a mess. And so in prayer, after about an hour or so, I went into an open vision. And what was incredible about it is I actually knew when this was happening, I was in a vision. I even said within myself, I am in a vision. And I heard, so the first thing that I saw is I saw these steps coming downhill. And the first thing that I saw in the vision was I saw a white robe and feet. And they were bare feet, but they were bright. I mean, just shining, golden, brass, bright, emanating, beaming. And then the white robe was just incredibly white. And he was walking down these steps. And I just saw 1 foot step down as he was coming down. And I heard the voice, the booming voice of the Lord. The best way I can describe it is a voice, it sounds like a combination of a trombone and thunder. That's the best way that I can describe this. But the Lord spoke to me just as clear as I am talking to you right now. And he said these words, and I wrote them down. As I said to you before, so say I again. Watch Pennsylvania, particularly Philadelphia. And what I said to the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation, so say I to my church in this season about the city of Philadelphia and the nation in the days ahead. And so instantly I got up, and I mean, I just felt a holy fear, a holy terror, reverence. I just knew I had come out of a supernatural experience. And I got up and I instantly opened my Bible. And as I read in the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 7, I read Jesus's message to the church, one of the seven churches in Asia Minor, the church of Philadelphia. And the prophetic parallel that the Lord was giving to me, as he was speaking in the word to the church of Philadelphia, was pertinent to the city of Philadelphia in the 2020 election. And so it was building off of the word I'd got in August. And so just quickly, I want to share with you, and as, like I said, as I was reading this, it was like it came alive, Sid, and jumped off the page at me.
Well, after I spoke with you, I read it, and the same thing happened to me. This is a now word.
A rhema word, for sure. Yes. And this is Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and I'll show you as we read through the verses what the Lord showed to me. Revelation 3 and 7, to the church and unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. That leapt off the page at me. And instantly I thought, you know, today's November the 11th, 2020. Well, Isaiah 22:22 talks about this key of David that Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia he has. Now, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of nuggets about what this key of David is. But at the bare root of what this means, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 1, you have the story where David is very old. He's near death. His body is not retaining heat. They bring in a young maiden to lie by him to help him to keep bodily heat. And David's son, Adonijah, okay, goes out, proclaims himself without David's blessing, proclaims himself to be king. He gathers the city people, the townspeople, the elders of the city, and they start going out and publishing that Adonijah is king. Well, it's interesting because two people come to David in his elderly state. It was Bathsheba, which was, of course, the king's bride, and then Nathan the prophet. So here you see this supernatural divine connection coming about between King David and the bride of the king and the prophet of the king. And they confront David about Adonijah's claim and it being broadcast that he's the new king. And David, and I'm paraphrasing, but David says that he swore by the living God that Adonijah would not be king, but that Solomon would be king. And of course, we know that ultimately the prophet anointed Solomon and he became king. So the key of David was that David had the authority, despite what Adonijah was saying, despite the whole city proclaiming him to be king. David said, I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't care what Adonijah is saying. I am the kingmaker. And David was the one who used the key of David to declare that the true king, despite the media reports, Solomon would be king. And of course, he did become king. And so Jesus is now in the New Testament telling the church of Philadelphia, he who has the key of David, remembering what that means. Jesus is the one who brings up kings, sets down kings, and he's telling the church in Philadelphia, I've opened a door that no one can shut and no one can open. And the door was opened that no one can shut in Philadelphia. And the prophetic parallel to that, Sid, is that there is a door.
It's obvious right now.
The door that is being opened to the exposure of mass voter fraud and corruption that we will see across the United States, but even I believe there'll be evidence of voter fraud prior to the 2020 election, and the door to that being opened is in Philadelphia, and Jesus, who has the key of David, who determines who the true ruler or king is the one who's opened the door. Now, if I can, I want to quickly go on. He says to them, for you have little strength, but you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Now, I think it's interesting he says you have little strength. The term little strength doesn't imply weakness, but it implies real strength, that they were weak enough to be strong in the Lord. They weren't strong within themselves, but their strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Lord instantly, this leapt off the page at me, was so supernaturally prophetic. And the Lord was saying, the church has become weary. This is dragging on. The media is projecting Biden to become president. But he says, even if you feel worn out, you have little strength, turn to me, get my strength, because the joy of the Lord, get your joy back. Get your joy back, because that's going to bring you strength that you don't possess within yourself. And then he said, you've held to my word. You're holding on to the words of the prophets. You're not going to listen to the lying media. The modern media, and others have said this, and it's true, they are the modern version of the false prophets of Baal. They are the lying media, and the church is believing and accepting the words of the false prophets of Baal more than they are the prophets. I think the Lord is going to change that. Now, he goes on to say,
excuse me, I have to interject something. There are many believers, and you alluded to this, that are weary from holding on, and they're about ready to throw in the towel. I mean, believers, and they're about ready to, they've been brainwashed by the media, is what it is. And what God is saying, and I want you to say it because you have the authority to, Chris, God is saying, don't give up.
Amen. Don't give up. You have little strength within yourself, but God's going to give the church, I believe, a resurgence of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength to hold on. Don't back down. Don't apologize to what you have believed the Lord has shown you. This is no time to back tread, to backpedal. Stand firm and let the consequences fall in the Lord's hands. He goes on down to say, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He is speaking. How bizarre that he's addressing people who are lying. There are people that are lying and saying something against what the church is saying. And he's saying, I'm going to make the ones that are peddling the lies and the corruption have to bow at your feet and acknowledge that you were the ones that were right. And then, of course, he says, because you've kept my commandment to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, there's three things the Lord promises the Church of Philadelphia. The first thing is opportunity. He says, I've set before you an open door. The second thing he has offered us is strength. He says, you have little strength, but you can rely on me. And the third thing he tells us is that they had kept his word and not denied his name. In other words, faithfulness. So the Lord to the Church of Philadelphia gave them an open door. He gave them opportunity. He gave them fresh strength because of their faithfulness to Jesus and not denying his word and his name. And now's where it gets good, Sid. Verse 11, he says, behold, I come quickly. And when I read that verse, instantly I saw the vision of the feet that I believe with all my heart was the feet of the Lord walking down these steps. And it was as if the Lord was saying, I am coming down to intervene in this situation. And so when I saw the I come quickly, I thought of him walking down those steps. He says, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, that is incredible to me. Because
are you saying that all of this is culminating in, and I'm going to press you on this, Chris, in Donald Trump getting his second term of presidency?
It has to, yes.
That's what I hear.
Yes. Yes.
And you know something, Chris? As a Jewish believer, which I am, when I read that in Revelation, I got a whole new take on it that is, and by the way, I believe everything you said was from the heart of God. But there's another level, as you know, as a prophet, there are levels and then there are levels. If you go back to the basics of that chapter, it's talking to the Jewish believers as contrast to the Jewish non-believers. And I have always seen the key of David is the key for worldwide evangelism. That I'm going to open a door that no man can close. And I'm going to close a door that no man can offer. And what I wanted to bring this out is Paul talks about a mystery of Israel. This is found in Romans 11:25. And then Paul says, there's also something else you have to do. In Romans 1:16, you have to go to the Jew first. And then Jesus said in John 4:22, for salvation, the key to evangelism, for salvation is of the Jew. And then you're going to see raised up such super Jewish evangelists, and Paul is besides himself. I know I'm packing a lot in, but I want you to get this. It's so important. When my wife brought this point out to me, she was weeping, literally, Chris.
Wow.
Because
wow.
She said, the church has missed this. Sid, you've got to tell people. The church has missed what you're about ready to say. And so Romans 11:12-15 says, now, if their transgression, that's talking about the Jewish people, if their transgression means riches for the world, the nations, the Gentiles, and their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more? And I want you to hear the heart of God. How much more will their fullness mean? For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world to God, What will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? And you watch, you mark my words, some of the young people you have given up on, prisons are filled with people that they have given up on, situations in your life that you have given up on. I'm telling you something. Watch what happens when the dry bones of Israel come alive and fulfill their original call. Because salvation for the nations is of the Jew. And here's an interesting point. Romans 11:11 says salvation has come to the nations or the Gentiles for a purpose. And most Gentiles have missed that. That's Romans 11:11. Salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy, to get them saved, to finish the job that the Gentile brothers have done a marvelous job for now 2,000 years. And it's time to put the baton, but not just give the baton to the Jew. The Jewish people are going to have to be discipled and mentored, and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are going to have to be raised up. And we are coming into the wrap-up of all things. And here's what I have found. Because President Trump has been such a friend of Israel, I mean, it is a supernatural bond. It's a supernatural friendship. You have to recognize the promises that God has in this. God says, not man, in Genesis 12:3, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people. Why do you think the U.S. has been so blessed financially and military and worldwide, and we just got the vaccine for the coronavirus? I believe it has to do with an open door that President Trump opened by being a blessing to the nation of Israel. And Zechariah 2:8 says, God speaking, anyone who harms Israel harms my most precious possession. That's the New Living Translation. And Numbers 23:23, this is the last scripture I want to bring out, says, no curse can touch Jacob. Well, listen to this promise. No curse, if there's witchcraft going on against Israel, no curse can touch Jacob. No magic or witchcraft has any power against Israel. For now it will be said of Jacob what wonders God has done for Israel. But the ones that are going to make this happen are the Gentile believers. And we're going to make it happen through coming together, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Jesus, one in Yeshua, and going to the court of heaven. And this is what I feel God put on my heart early this morning. Go to the court of heaven and tell the righteous judge what President Trump has done to Israel based on these promises, and we fully expect him to continue being a blessing to Israel so that the U.S., the United States of America, can fulfill their destiny. And the destiny of Israel and the destiny of the United States are merged together, and that's to evangelize the world. And, yes. Chris, I'll start the prayer, and you pray, because the most important thing is to get now, President Trump is not our salvation. As a matter of fact, he's a real rough-edged human. However, a flawed human like you and like me and like everyone watching us right now. But the truth is, he's God's selection for this moment in history. Yes. And if he doesn't become president, it speeds up end time events. And God's heart, his passion is for souls. And he wants everyone to come to know him before this wrap-up occurs. So I'm going to start.
Can I make one last point in this chapter?
Please.
He says something important. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man can take your crown. Now, the significance of that to this election is he is saying, hold fast that no one takes your crown. He's not saying that their crown might be lost, but the idea that it might be given to another. And so the kingmaker, the one who has the key of David to the church of Philadelphia in a prophetic parallel, is saying that the one who has the crown, hold fast so that the crown is not given, so that the presidency, the crown is not given to someone else, but it's kept with the one who has it.
And we have to lift up President Trump's arms to see that. I mean, it is absolutely supernatural that that man survives with what he's been through. Only God. That's my answer. Only God. It's not him. Only God. It's not his vitamins. Only God. So I'm going to start the prayer, and Chris, you end it. Father, in the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, Chris and I, Jew and Gentile, join hands in the court of heaven, and we say to you that your word says, and if, I mean, as an attorney presenting evidence to you, O righteous judge, your word says you will bless those who bless the Jewish people. Your word says no witchcraft can come against those that bless Israel. And so therefore, righteous judge, I ask for a cease and desist order against all witchcraft that's coming against President Trump in Jesus' name. And I also ask, while you're at it, that all truth of what has gone on in the elections will come and rise up, and everyone will know. And I pray, O righteous God, that there is vindication for President Trump in the name above every name. And Lord, I know you are releasing the angels right now, multitudes, multitudes of angels to gather the information so that people will know and will vindicate this president in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for President Donald Trump, that he has stood for pro-life, that he has stood for the life of babies, and that he has stood with your nation, Israel, and that he has stood to help the economy of the United States in reforming trade deals and guarding our borders, Lord, from child trafficking and human trafficking. And we just believe, Lord, what you have spoken to me and to others, that you, who holds the key of David, has the authority to determine, to declare who the true ruler is, despite what Adonijah and the media is proclaiming. David declared Solomon to be the true king, and we are declaring in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will declare Donald Trump to remain the president of the United States, that his crown, that no man can take that office, no man can take that crown. And Lord, I'm praying for strength and vitality and the joy of the Lord to come to your church that maybe feels weary or feels like backpedaling or backtracking, Lord. We are declaring in the name of Jesus for a release of supernatural grace and joy and expectation, that your hand is upon your church and upon our president, and that the open door in Philadelphia is exposing the lies of election fraud and voter fraud. And we declare in Jesus' name, and we come into agreement, Barondo Shabrande Beke Kutele Beke Samrande Boku Chakata, that your hand is going to return and overturn the results that we are hearing from the media. And you are the kingmaker. You are the one that holds the key of David. And we put this in your hands, and we hold fast to your word, the word of your prophets, in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah.
And I'll tell you what, I believe that now is the time to continue holding this up before the righteous judge, but celebrate,
celebrate,
because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank you, Chris.